her from all the restrictions they have her on and give us a final update on everything. And so we'll be there Tuesday and ask you just to be mindful of that in praying. Take your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. The old story. Praise the Lord. I wasn't on the back pew, but I was away from the Lord. Amen. I'm glad God saved me and dealt with my heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We talked about who he was writing to and the blessing of God picking us and dealing with us and saving us and the work of the Trinity in salvation last week. Verse 3, we want to look at, start looking at and read down here a few verses. The Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write these words. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice." Now, listen, if you've got salvation and you're not rejoicing, there is something wrong with you. "Wherein you now, wherein you greatly rejoice." Boy, isn't that a blessing. "Though now for a season," and boy, thank God that things don't come to stay, they come to pass. The seasons of our life change. The seasons of troubles come and go, and the seasons of prosperity come and go, and the seasons of blessings and such like things. "For you rejoice, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be." Yeah, boy, ain't that. I don't need to be, but sometimes I get in them. Amen. I figure everybody'd say that. "If need be, ye are in." So apparently God knows there's times when we need these things. "If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." The heaviness, the sorrows of this life, the stress, the troubles. "That the trial of your faith, being more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." With joy unspeakable. We read that a couple times about rejoicing. I don't know how much we rejoice, but we're supposed to rejoice. I want to preach a little bit tonight on salvation. It's the favorite subject of the Bible as far as I'm concerned, and of people to be saved. And tonight, if you're on the back pew or the front pew or anywhere in between, and you've never been saved, you need to be saved today. That is the call of the gospel message. Whenever the Apostle Peter starts writing this, he begins by exalting the Lord. The word blessed is the word eulogy. Now, usually we give a eulogy when somebody dies, and we praise them or we compliment them in the life that they had and certain things that they did and accomplished in this world. Here it means to praise, to celebrate with praise. And so Peter starts off by saying, listen, you and I are to be celebrating with praise the things that God has done for us in this matter of salvation especially. You know, without God's grace, none of us would be saved. Without God's choosing and dealing with us and drawing us, none of us would be saved. Without God reaching to us, none of us would have come to Him. We've all, like sheep, have gone astray. And without God dealing with our hearts and drawing our hearts, none of us would have even considered the matter of salvation. And so blessed, or let's celebrate the praises of God the Father, God the Son, in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in drawing us unto Him. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't believe tonight we need to elaborate a whole lot and expound a whole lot on what we believe about this. We believe God is God. And we believe He is the Heavenly Father. And we believe that by the operation of the Holy Ghost of God and by the divine and foreknowledge and wisdom of God, that God determined and that His Son would come and be born of a virgin and be born into this world sinless and be all God and yet all man, and live and one day die for the sins of mankind. I don't believe tonight that you and I need to elaborate that we believe that God is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, if you read the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." He references to the Father over and over and over and over again, especially in the Gospel of John. Blessed, let's celebrate the praises of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, that one who was looked for since Genesis chapter number 3. That one who was promised way back yonder. That one that was told would come and be the Redeemer of mankind. Matthew, the Bible says, call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. In Acts, the Bible says, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says there's coming a day when at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Bible tells us His name is Jesus. The Bible said whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no other salvation in any other name but His. And so whenever we think about this, we don't need to elaborate and talk about who He is. We know who He is. He is the Lord. Peter said, I believe it was in preaching in the book of Acts, he said that God has made Him both Lord and Christ. Yes, sir, He is Lord. Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 28, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's sovereign, He's holy. And so tonight, we don't need to elaborate a whole lot on who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's that Christ, that sent one. I remember Philip said, hey, we found the Messiah. And Nathanael said, can there any good thing come out of Galilee? Philip said, you just come and see. And whenever Nathanael got over there, Jesus said, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said, well, I don't know you and you don't know me. He said, yeah, I saw you under a tree reading, meditating, thinking. He said, oh, you're the Lord and Christ. He said, oh, just because I said that, amen. So He's the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We don't need to elaborate a lot on that, but thank God we can be reminded of it tonight. Thank God we believe it tonight. Thank God we preach it tonight, amen. Thank God we believe the Bible is still the Bible and that this truth is still the truth. And so tonight we thank God that God is the originator of salvation. Salvation didn't start with man. It didn't start with us. It didn't start with the church. It started with God. The very moment that Adam sinned, God began to work a work of salvation, a work of redemption, a work of redeeming man from sin, and has been actively redeeming man ever since that time. I say has been actively redeeming man ever since that time. And you and I that are saved are a result of God actively redeeming mankind. Yes, sir. There's no sense in us thinking that salvation is in any other than Jesus Christ. And that God is that agent by, or the Holy Spirit is that agent by which we're drawn to Him. And we're saved by the wonderful grace of God. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a greater rejoicing of the Christian than to consider that God in His grace would draw you and draw me to salvation that deserve a devil's hell, that deserve to be in the lowest part of hell, in the worst judgment of God. You and I tonight get to enjoy the blessings because God had chosen us. We don't know why, but we believe that He chose us. Amen. He chose us. John says, there, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And tonight you're a chosen one of the Lord. Praise His holy name. And so he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice here the Bible says, which according to His abundant mercy. His abundant mercy. Take your Bibles, hold your hand there, and go over to Titus chapter number 3 for just a minute. Titus chapter 3, verse number 4, says, but some words along the same line. We need to understand tonight that if it wasn't for the mercy of God, none of us would be saved. Wasn't for the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us in this room were saved by our good works. There's none. In fact, Isaiah said that our righteousnesses, the best that we do, are as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. But here in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. How did it appear? In Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Christ. Amen. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His abundant, according to His mercy, He saved us. Peter says, according to His abundant mercy, He saved us. Titus, the Apostle Paul writing, according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Same words Peter saying in a different way. By God's mercy we're saved, and grace we're saved, and when we get saved we have an inheritance coming. Praise the Lord, called heaven. So the Bible says, which according to His abundant mercy. Now, why did God have mercy on us? I read something that's interesting. Wu said this. He said, according to is being constrained or compelled by the merciful heart that God moved to redeem sinners. This mercy just compelled God to do something for fallen man. It compelled Him to do something. It made Him do something for us that we could not have done. Here's Adam in this perfect environment, in this perfect place, in a sinless condition. Had all of the trees to eat off of, the tree of life, and all of the trees that bear fruit. All of that there at his disposal. All of this beautiful world, and ruined it by disobedience. And not only ruined that, but ruined the entire human race by his disobedience. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam ruined it all, and God knew it. And yet God come walking in the cool of the day, Adam, where you at? Where art thou? And again, as I said a few weeks ago, God wasn't seeking information. He was seeking a confession. He knew where Adam was. And He knew where you were. And He knew where I was. And He knew the condition we were in. And yet He came and He sought us. Whether religious or a heathen, He sought us. Whether knowing or unknowing, He sought us. Sitting in the Sunday school class from a little child all the way up, or being out in the depths of sin in the world, God sought us according to His abundant mercy. It compels Him. We read that verse there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He just didn't love it, but in order to describe it, He so loved the world. Couldn't even express that measure of God's love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He says there in those verses, He said, scarcely For a righteous man, would some even dare to die? But God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said there in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, or 2 Corinthians, come on, get it in here. I'm going to have to read it. I know where it is, just give me a second, I'll get over there. Sometimes my mind don't work as quick as it should. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Yeah. Why? Because God's a merciful God. There's nothing in us that would earn salvation or deserve salvation. And I've been saved, and some of you have been saved longer than I have, and it's because of God's mercy, his abundant mercy. That undeserving favor and kindness and goodness and extending it to us is what God gave us when he saved us. And I like what he said, he hath begotten us again, being born again. Remember he told Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus come down, I don't think looking for that information. I don't think Nicodemus came looking for the way of salvation. I think he was kind of interested in who this man was, maybe to get some information as far as who he was, his background, and such like things. But I don't think Nicodemus had the idea that God was going to investigate his soul that night. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what, I don't know that any of us, the night we got under conviction, thought God was going to be interested in investigating us. I think maybe we had some other ideas, but not that. And of all things, Nicodemus said, we know thou art come from God, a teacher from God, and he gave him good credentials and compliments. And Jesus just stopped him and said, hey, listen. Nicodemus is not 12. He's an old man. But he needs to be saved. And right in the midst of that, Jesus stopped him and said, listen. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now that was strange news to this old guy. You know what he had been preaching for years and years and years? Do, 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 do. The law. That's what he'd been preaching. That's what he'd been teaching. That's what he'd been believing. And now all of a sudden, This young whippersnapper, probably 30 years younger than him, stands and looks at that old man who had been an expert in the law. Think about that. 30-year-old man looking at an old 60-plus probably year-old man and says, except you get born again, you're going to die and go to hell. I'm just thinking to myself, Nicodemus must have thought, what? That's what I thought. I didn't know what born again meant. Amen? Nicodemus, I can just see him. You probably don't dramatize the Bible like I do, but I can see him kind of scratching his head going, how can a guy when he's old be born a second time of his mother? I don't get it. What are you talking about? Born again. Jesus said, oh, no, 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 no. Listen to me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And I'm not talking about a fleshly birth. You done got that. In fact, the Bible says that comes first in 1 Corinthians 15. You have to have an earthly body before you can have a heavenly body. And he said, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something born of the water and of the Spirit. He's not talking about baptism. He's talking about the washing of the water of the Word. Something comes along. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, doing that operation that he does in the soul of mankind to save him. Bible said the Spirit is like the wind. I was down at the Alma show on Friday at the auction. And I'm telling you, standing inside that pavilion early in the morning, that wind come through there. Now, I knew what direction it was coming from, but where it came from, I have no idea. But in there, it was blowing from one end to the one side to the other side, and it was chilly. So I thought, I'm going to see where the wind's coming from. I step outside, and I don't see it. I see the evidences of it, but I don't know where it went. And by the way, when it got through, I looked, and I didn't know where it went to. He said, that's how the Holy Ghost is. That deals with a man's heart. You just don't get it. It's a mystery. Now, I want to tell you tonight, I don't understand how he works. But I know he works. I've seen the evidence of it. I don't know where he come from. I don't know where he's going. But I know when he's been there. Praise the Lord. So tonight, he said, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again. Now tonight, if you're born again, you've been begotten again. You've been saved. I like that word, amen? Amen. Saved, born again, regenerated. Thank God tonight for that. And we've just not been born again, but we've been born again unto a lively hope, a living hope. You know, ladies and gentlemen, Paul said this over in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, he said there were some of those folks over there that didn't believe in the resurrection. Some of them had preached at the resurrection in the past and all such like things going on. But he said, listen, if Christ just died, then we are of all men most miserable. All of these other religions, quote unquote, churches meeting today, who do not preach a lively hope, have met in vain. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. That's all they got, that's all they're living for. But when I got saved, when you got saved, there was something that stirred in us that happened. And it was something that brought to life somebody that was dead in trespasses and sins. And when I got born again, there was a brand new life created in me by God Almighty that is just like His Son, Jesus Christ. Let me go ahead and say, impossible to sin in that new man. John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Possible. Made in the image of God, in the likeness of Christ. That old man can't do any right. The new man can't do any wrong. And thank God tonight, ladies and gentlemen, whenever I got born again, when you got born again, I just didn't get a religion. As sometimes, oh, they got religion. Well, that's all right for the world to say. But we understand tonight, we just didn't get religion. We got life. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and He hath quickened you. He has made you alive. The Bible tells us that there is a fountain, a water, a river of eternal life flowing out of us. It's not a stagnant pool filled with all kinds of diseases, but it's a fresh river that God brings out in us by the power and the operation of the Holy Ghost of God. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, whenever I got saved unto a lively hope. Something that was living. Something that was so powerful that it changed me. Praise God. I wrote something down here. You may want to listen to this. I forgot who wrote it. I didn't write his name down. I was getting ready to and got interrupted. But this is, I write it anyway, give somebody else credit for it. This hope is not only objective, but is also subjective on the part of the believer. It is a lively hope, not only living, but actively alive, an energizing principle of divine life in the believer. A Christian's hopefulness and optimism produce in the believer yielded to the Holy Ghost of God. It is looking forward to heaven. It is not only looking forward to heaven, but also hopefulness of the present blessings of God. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Every one of them. anything spiritual, they're mine. Got them all the day I got saved. Every one of them. You say, how do you know? Because God gave them to me. Got saved. I got every spiritual blessing at my fingertips that I want. At the cry of my voice. Every one of them. Well, look over there. I think some of you think I made that verse up. Ephesians chapter 1. Just quick. We'll try not to take too much time. But I'm going to tell you, whenever I got saved, I got all of those blessings. In Ephesians 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1, blessed, same thing. Blessed, let's credit God with praises. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, that means spiritual prosperity, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every one of them. Every one of them. Eternal life, forgiveness, joy, peace. All of them. I got every one of them the day I got saved. Praise God. Born again unto a lively hope. See, ladies and gentlemen, whenever I was lost, I didn't have any hope. I was just living like everybody else from day to day, you know, hoping to make better in life and do what I wanted to do in life and knowing one day probably I was going to die. Now, it's like an eternity away because I was young. But now, all of a sudden, when I came to church, I got under conviction and I realized I was going to die. Maybe sooner than later. Sure didn't want to do that, amen? And I got born again. And now I've got eternal life. I have a lively hope. I am living for something beyond this world. Oh, it's exciting. I can tell how excited you are.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Tim, we're living too, but boy, I'll tell you what.
No, I'm telling you, it's pretty exciting. Knowing one day the trump of the Lord shall sound, that's what I'm looking for. What did the old time preacher say? Looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. Looking for Jesus to come. Now I'm praying He comes before I have to go through death. But if it doesn't, then I'll go through death. It'd be all right. I'll just get to come back with the crowd. I'll be raised up before you then. That are left behind. Amen. I mean, I'm living for something beyond this world. Now I enjoy this world. I enjoy the things of this world. But I'm telling you what, I'm not living for this world. I'm not laying up my treasure on earth for the moth and the rust and for the thieves to break through and steal. No. I'm going to try to lay up some treasures in heaven. Why? Because that's where I'm going. That's where my expectations are at. That's where my vision is at. It's heaven. Oh, I enjoy the things here, but it's not where we're living. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is not where a Christian ought to be living. We're seeking one to come, amen. We're seeking a country. We're seeking a city. We're seeking one who's coming. Take your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 14 for just a minute. We've been born again unto a lively hope. A lively hope. I read this same author said this same quote that I gave you. He said this in the rest of his stuff. He said, a child of God has no right to look on the dark side of things. Boy, isn't that something. How many of you look on the dark side of things? Somebody asked me, said, you like this weather? You know what I told him? I know what's coming. I do enjoy the cooler air. I enjoy the fact that I'm not giving Howard Electric any more of my money than I have to. But I didn't think of it. You know what I thought? This is just one step closer to what I don't like, and that's winter. Cold. Some people are going to be happy it's getting cold. Not me. I'm looking for December 21st when we head back. You know, if the Lord gave you any kind of ideal weather, I'll tell you what, that equator weather is pretty good stuff to me. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Preacher, what do you think? Well, you know, sometimes we're just pessimist. We just look on the dark. Here's what that writer said. A child of God, a Christian, has no right to look on the dark side of things or to look for the worst to happen to him. Well, amen. As the object of God's care and love, He has the right to look for the best to come to him and to look on the bright side of everything. That's what the writer said. I'll tell you one thing that the world needs to see, that the Christian is not down and discouraged and defeated the way that they are, because they're not living for nothing. You know, I have a little bit of money in the stock market. It ain't going to make me rich by any means. But let me tell you this. If it all goes to nothing, I'm still better off than most people. I'm going to heaven. So what are you going to do to eat? Well, I got a little bit packed away just in case. Some of you skinny ones are going first. Oh, preacher, how are you going to live? I don't know. Well, David said, I once was young, now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. You know what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? He said, all of us are looking for what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, how we're going to do this, how. And he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of. No sense to borrow from the evil from tomorrow. Sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. Here's what he says, you live for me, and I'll take care of all that other stuff. But I'll tell you what, we got so many Christians worried about what's going on in the world of finance and the world of retirement and the world of this and the world of that and the world of everything, and has no idea what's going on in the world beyond. Boy, I tell you, it's something, isn't it? And we can't. Why? Because we forget we're born again to a lively hope. I told you Proverbs 14, didn't I? Good. Look there. Proverbs 14, verse 18. I don't think that's it. Let me see here. Somewhere in the book of Proverbs. Here it is. Nope, that ain't it either. Somewhere in the book of Proverbs, would have been nice if the preacher had wrote down the right verses. Let me look over here. Maybe I wrote them down the right chapter. Oh, yeah, it is. Chapter 4. Let me change that in my notes. Chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Right book, wrong chapter. Chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Okay? Look up here. I got saved. I'm on my way to heaven. The closer I get to the sun, the brighter it gets. The closer I get to heaven, the better it looks. Now, I enjoy being down here. Don't get me wrong. But boy, I tell you what, I understand what Paul said. He said, listen, to be over there is far better. Needful to be here. But over there is far better. You read a little bit about heaven, it just makes you want to go. Boy, I tell you what, the closer you get, the path of the just, the way of the just, man, it shines more and more into that perfect day, that day when we see Jesus. But he said, look at verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not what they stumble. And the wicked, they're walking in darkness. They have no light. They have no perfect day. They have no expectations. Oh, wait, I think I read it where he says the expectation of the wicked shall be cut off. That's what I read. We've been born again unto a lively hope. You know, as Christians, we ought to begin to live like we've got a living hope in us. We ought to be whistling and smiling and rejoicing and going through the day like there is not a better day to live than today. Why? Because it's a day I could go to heaven. Yeah. Now, I know the troubles and trials make us heartbroken, as we've talked about this morning and other times throughout our lives. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, none of these things move me from that hope. It's in Christ. It's what Paul said. None of these things move me. They don't change my direction. Paul's walking with the Lord, and it's getting brighter and brighter, and the troubles and the trials of life seem to be intensifying. He said, I'm not moving. I'm not going to go back that way where it's getting darker and darker. I like when it gets light at 5 and dark at 9. That's my favorite. But boy, I tell you what, when it don't get light till 7 and dark by 4, it's hard not to hibernate all night. Amen? Man, I'm telling you. Well, it's still dark. You know, sleep like 18 hours a day. What are you going to do? Can you imagine whenever they was way back here and all they had was that little candle? I mean, they went to bed at night and got up at daylight. What else could they have done? It wasn't like they had street lights and, you know, all the stuff that we have today. They didn't have them little gadgets and gadgets you could read it without light. They didn't have anything. I don't know if you know this, but whenever there's no light and it's dark, it's really dark. You know, I can nap during the day, but I sleep at night. When it's dark outside and dark in my room, man, I can really get with it. Now, I can sleep all right during the day if I need to. But there's something about that light shining in my eyes that robs me of good sleep. Amen? You know, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it amazing how when we get close to God and closer to God and we've got this lively hope and these troubles and problems come, it just seems like, you know what, I know it's bad, but boy, thank God, it's going to get better one day. When we see Jesus, amen, it will be worth it all when we see Him. These things of life that seem so big and out of control will seem like a little dot in eternity. What a difference it's going to be to see Jesus. Man, Brother Tim, I don't know about what's going on here and there and the other. I don't know either. I just know Jesus is coming. Yeah, it's got to get better, amen. It's got to get better. Just one day closer to heaven, it's got to get better. Tomorrow will be one day closer to heaven, it's got to get better. One day them days won't get closer, I'll just be there. That lively hope. Now, how'd that happen? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Didn't happen because of religion. It didn't happen because of baptism. It didn't happen because of all these things. It happened because Jesus Christ died one day and then He rose for our justification. He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Paul said, oh death, where's your sting? And sin, where's your victory? He said the sting of death is sin and the strength of on and on and on. Thanks be unto God which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go back there and read that in 1 Corinthians 15, the latter part. Lost it. You know what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? When Jesus Christ died, man, them disciples, oh, remember them two on the road to Emmaus? Man, that's downhearted. Let's go back to Emmaus. Tomorrow we've got to go to work. So much for all of this. And we thought we was going to get some help. Jesus shows up and He said, what's going on? They said, you don't know what's going on. We had hope. Our expectation was in Him and now He's dead. Man. Jesus said, oh. He said, you know what I read in the Bible? And they said, what? And so He started expounding them through the Scriptures about the Messiah. They're just walking along. They get over to Emmaus and they said, well, He said, I'm going to go on. They said, oh no. Stay with us. He said, no, I got to go. They go, no, no, we insist. You stay with us. All right. He gets in there. And the Bible says they get ready to eat. They ask Him, would you do the honors of praying over the food? And He begins to say, Father. Boy, one of them, I don't think they opened their eyes, but I think their ears perked up and said, I think we heard that one day. Thank you. And on and on, and all of a sudden, their eyes were opened. Not their physical eyes, but the eyes. And they knew it was Him, and instantly He was gone. They said, glory, hallelujah. Thank God, tomorrow we don't have to go to work. We're going back to Jerusalem. Man, they made it back there in record time. Hey, disciples. Man, they went in that upper room and said, we saw Jesus, we saw Jesus. Peter said, yeah, Mary, Martha, Mary said she saw Him too. We ain't convinced. About that time, with the door shut, here came Jesus. Upbraided them for their unbelief. Them two on the road to Emmaus said, boy, did not our hearts burn within us when He was speaking. Man, I'm telling you, man, they were hopeless there for a little bit. In fact, the Pharisees, the judges, the Romans, everybody said, well, He's dead. But let's make sure He don't get up. Set a guard and everything around it and make sure He doesn't get up. But you know, they didn't take His life. Jesus laid it down and Jesus took it up on the third day. And because he's alive, we have hope. That's our living hope, because he lives. If you believed in some of the pagan gods that's running around this world today and being preached today, and even in modern churches, so to speak, today, they don't preach the living Christ. They preach a religion that has a Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. Yeah. If you use some of them, like Buddha, you'd be worshiping a fat rascal that's dead. Amen. If you was a Hindu, you'd be worshiping about everything that walks, that ain't human. I mean, they're hope. Man, what if you was worshiping your cow and then she died? Oh, shucks. This can't be good for religion. Betsy Dunn died. Oh, you know. I mean, what are you going to do? If you're them Muslims, you're worshiping the dead religion of Muhammad who's buried in the grave. Catholicism tries to bring him back on the cross every month or wherever, how often they do that, week, I guess. And worshiping the Christ we're worshiping. Worshiping the living God tonight. He was dead. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And one day, by the way, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for us. And one day, ladies and gentlemen, he is coming again. At the trump, at the shout and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. One day we're looking for that blessed hope whenever the trump of the Lord shall sound and the angel of the Lord shall announce his coming, and there he'll be in the sky. Well, what a blessing that's going to be. A living hope. A living hope. Tonight in my office, Teresa came in there and wanted to get baptized, and she had mentioned it to me a few times about getting baptized and some of the things going on with all the busyness around here. I haven't been to see her, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, you come back tonight at 5 o'clock and I'll talk to you about getting baptized. And I'm all for baptizing people, but let me say tonight, if you don't have a living hope in you, there ain't no need to get baptized. Philip on the road there with that eunuch, he said, that eunuch said, hey, here's water. What doth hinder me? That means there's something that could have hindered you from getting baptized. And Peter said, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he said, then you can. He said, I believe with all my heart. So I believe he is God. He said, you're in. Tonight, Teresa came in and she had been involved in the Catholic Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Christian Church. And I told him not one of them preached the true gospel. Began to tell her, and she said, Brother Tim, I feel conviction when I'm in church. And I said, that's a part of being saved. A conviction about my past. Conviction about sin. I believe I read that somewhere, maybe in like John chapter 16. The Holy Ghost, when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin. Sin of unbelief. And I told her about Christ, and I asked her, I said, Teresa, if you dropped here dead on my floor, where would you go? She goes, without a doubt, hell. I said, let me tell you, God will save you. And that night, or tonight, about 5:30, somewhere around in that neighborhood of time, she prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart. I read the Bible to her, said, here's what God promised. And she got saved tonight. She has a lively hope. I read her these verses. I said, this is what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. Lively hope. A lively hope, a living hope. See, prior to 5:30, she didn't have no hope. But after 5:30, she had a living hope. We talked there a little bit longer, and I asked her, I said, hey, if you died now and dropped dead on this floor, she said, well, I think I'd just go to heaven. And so that's a good place to think to go. See, salvation is a wonderful work of God. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Now I'm made alive. I was a kingdom of darkness. Now I'm in the kingdom of light. I mean, my goodness, you can't get any better than that. If you're not saved tonight, young boys, young girls, old people, young people, it don't matter. If you're not saved tonight, Jesus Christ loves you and wants to save you. Born you again to a lively hope. Thank God tonight for the salvation that's in Christ. We're going to have prayer here just in a minute, have an invitation. And tonight, if you've never been saved, you need to come. And get saved. Get born again, as the Bible says. And if you have been saved, you need to start rejoicing. Your countenance ought to show that you're saved. Your walk ought to show that you're saved. Everything about you ought to show that you've got a lively hope. A living hope. Not living for this world. I'm living for that one to come. Father, thank you tonight for the great salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, Lord, for somebody that might be here that's never been saved. Might be a Christian here that's backslid on God. Lost their hope. And I just pray, God, tonight you'll draw them back. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll bless the service as we continue with baptism and such. But, Lord, tonight there's not a greater message. I want to thank you for that day whenever you born me again into the kingdom of God. What a glorious day that was for me. God, I praise you tonight. I've been saved ever since. Might be somebody here that's not saved. God, draw them. God, we praise you tonight for the Bible that gives us the truth in Christ's name. Amen and amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Rosemary's going to play the hymn of invitation. If you've never been saved, you need to come to the altar tonight and get saved. If you are saved, you are to be rejoicing in the Lord.